Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
There's some, like, housekeeping activities, though, to take care of right now. Whatever happened to Rocky Top? We used to play that, Ramon, didn't we?
We did, man, but we went down real bad last year, but we made a great comeback with 7 wins, both L's, and man, good things on the way because Alabama lost too, so we can take the recruits now.
Yeah, well, relax.
Give it time, watch.
We used to play Rocky Top when he came in, and by the way, Ramon Foster, right here, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Mike's always has at least 50 local area beers on tap. Okay, to the football talk. Is all the Cleveland talk and the T-shirt talk and the disrespect talk and all that, is that all finished and done, or is that going to linger on throughout the rest of your career, this Cleveland-Pittsburgh stuff?
Nah, I don't think so. To be honest with you, the Cleveland game has always kind of been like that. You know, they've gotten good over this past year as far as, you know, their win losses and the free agents that they signed. They had a whole lot of buzz. So everything is heightened, you know, behind them this year. And we just add to it is how I look to it. So I don't think it's like that. They always have played us very hard. I mean, the cities are real close to each other. They're a very passionate fan base. I do have to give that to them. So it's always going to be a little jaw-jacking when they have a good season going for them too.
What were you guys told before the game about, because we talked last week, Ramon, about how what you expected the message to be from the officials before the game and early on in the game. Were you given any messages from the officials before kickoff? And then what was the tone like once the game started? Was there any added chatter or back and forth between snaps?
The officials really had nothing to say. We really don't talk to them before game anyway, but playing so long, some of the umpire that's behind us came up to it. He really didn't say anything. So I think they knew it was probably a one-time thing. And if anything was going to happen, I think guys would have got ejected really quick, and there would have been a whole lot of flags as far as, like, unsportsmanlike conduct. And we're not in a position to do that. Coach Tomlin didn't have to say anything to us as far as managing our emotions and stuff like that because we knew exactly what it was going to be, and he did too. He really didn't address it in that sense.
Ramon Foster joining us here, Fan Morning Show, Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. I often ask you whenever things are going real good with Ben, how Ben is in the huddle to take us behind the curtain and all of that kind of stuff. Take us behind the curtain and tell us how Duck handles the huddle and how Duck commands an offense.
I think all of us are in a position now where we have to respect whoever's coming into the huddle. And Duck is just one of those guys right now where everybody's trying to do their part to make sure that he's successful, because if he is, then we are also. To be honest, he's sort of a soft-spoken guy. And sometimes when he's giving a play, he's actually a little bit too loud. So we have to tell him, like, hey, bring it down a little bit, because, you know, it's the manager. He's getting familiar with that type of stuff. And as the game went on, you can tell he kind of, like, really settled in. And the TV timeouts and stuff like that, he would say a little joke here or there, or just let us know what the play was beforehand so he can get comfortable and we could too.
When do you think the moment was on Sunday, Ramon, where he seemed to calm down and settle in? We talked about it yesterday, that moment where he hit James down the sideline on what was kind of like a free play because the offsides call. Was it at that point where you kind of saw a change in his demeanor maybe?
Yeah, it was that serious for sure. You saw it was like a light bulb turned on. And, you know, this is the game that, you know, he can play, he can win at, which he's already done before. But this time he was at Heinz Field, and that series in itself brought up a whole bunch of different things from a whole lot of different players. There was wide receivers making plays and catches, and we were taking advantage of the stuff that we were getting as far as the penalties too. So he was cool, and everybody else was too. So it was a good feel this past Sunday.
Ramon, I don't want to make too much of this, but, you know, I talk on Sports Talk Radio, so I will. I was sitting there in the stands, and I'm watching when the ball is spotted at the 1 yard line. And I said to myself, this right here could change the fortunes of the Cleveland Browns organization forever, forever. If they stop the Steelers, if they force a safety, if they force a fumble, if they do something. You guys didn't end up scoring on that drive, but you blew it out of there. Benny Snell blew it out of there. You guys got to midfield, you punted, and you took back control of the field position. When you're backed up on the 1 yard line, did you guys understand just how important of a time in the football game that was, even if you didn't score a touchdown or a field goal?
Oh, no doubt about it. It was one of those situations where it's one thing that Coach Tomlin did say. It's like, don't limp out of the stadium, meaning do all you can to walk out and control this game as much as you can. And that was the situation. You know, the guys who were in the huddle, we just kept chirping the small things. Hey, no holding calls. Keep your hands inside. No negative plays. If you do jump off sides, you're only going to lose a half. So it was a lot of team growth things that was going on in that situation. Because, like you said, as big as that was for them, it was huge for us, especially as I think we had like all three tight ends and also in that series. So it was a mano-a-mano type of situation that was going on.
When they came in there, and because they're the Cleveland Browns, and I saw more Browns fans than I ever have in Heinz Field, and the atmosphere just felt a little different. Was there a protect this house sort of mentality, though, when you got in your car and you drove over there and you got taped up and you walked out there? Did it kick in a little different than normal?
It did. I'm being honest with you. My wife thought something was wrong with me Sunday morning because she was like, "You okay?" I was like, "No, I'm okay." I was barely doing any talking. And I think that was everybody's mindset was like, "Hey, we got to focus on this." Not in the sense of that it couldn't be done, in the sense of, like, hey, we do have some stuff to prove. Like, we are still a really good team, and I don't want to say their win was a fluke or anything like that because they straight up beat us in Cleveland. So, but we are out to just, be who we are, and everybody knows that.
Steelers guard Ramon Foster joins us every Tuesday at 8 here on the Fan Morning Show. He's on the line now. Ramon, despite Duck finally getting into a groove, it was another slow start for the offense. Have you found maybe a common thread in what could be causing these slow starts at the beginning of games for the offense?
It's just execution is usually the thing. Whether that's up front or just guys making plays, that's what it simply is about. It's us getting that. You get one first down, you got something going. Those three and outs, they can really, dampen the whole day. And we just got to be better in that. It's just like that sometimes. I wish I had a rhyme or reason to it, but it really just sincerely comes down to making plays, and we didn't, that first series.
Ramon, you showed up here April of 2009, right, a UFA. Get here, and I'll tell you, one of the things that's happened with this franchise, won a lot of football games, but there's always that game or two on the schedule where people say, I can't believe the Steelers lost that football game they were supposed to win during the course of a season. How do you make sure that isn't this Arizona game coming up?
It starts with our head coach. He's going to make sure that we're well equipped to what we need to do. And when we get there and on the field, it has to be a mindset. Every game for us right now is a playoff game. It's that simple. And I don't think guys are ready to pack it in and go home, even have that thought right now. This Arizona game is a game that we need as far as a whole lot of things. But that's not our mindset right now. To be honest with you, I don't think that's been a thought around here.
Do you guys find yourselves, because it's become talk now, whether it be about TJ, whether it be about Bud, whether Minka, anybody on the defensive side of the ball, do you ever find yourselves, when you're talking with other guys that you know around the league, perhaps, lobbying for your defensive teammates in regards to, hey, this guy, you got to vote for this guy for the Pro Bowl, or this guy should be Defensive Player of the Year, or what do those conversations go like when you're talking with colleagues from around the league, other teams, and saying, hey, have you seen TJ? Have you seen Bud? Have you seen Minka or Cam or any of these guys? You guys got to be paying attention to them.
Yeah, they are, and they are just as amazed as we are. I know we have some really good players in our defense, and there's always a chance of, like, you got to let them see growth. The way I see it is I've talked to other guys. They get nervous when those guys are out there, in a sense, because they are very dynamic right now. They are on a tear. Those TJ and Bud up front are receiving all the chips. And I've talked to other linemen on other teams, and they're like, man, we had to formulate a whole plan around those guys. And not just that, it's the back end. I mean, I think everybody can agree the Minka first-round pick was more than worth it. So it's not just us and our fan base that's saying, it's everybody else too, because like you said, I've talked to those people.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder, an Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. A couple more minutes with Ramon Foster. Okay, if you get fined for this, if there's something you're about to say, I'll kick you a couple dollars. Colony has the big money. He'll give you some money. Right. Now, the call on Duck, the false start call on Duck, when he's simply in his cadence barking out orders, did you ever get an explanation as to what happened? And also, do you ever say to yourself, like, what's going on with officiating this year?
I actually had Judge about that, and he said he moved his hands, which is, I've seen it called before in other games, so I won't say it's a fluke. I'm not sure if it was him that had called the other one, you know, early in the season, but it's just how the game is rolled right now with, you know, everybody's trying to get an advantage, and I'm not sure if that was a point of emphasis this offseason as far as, like, saying, hey, wash the hands of trying to pull guys off. I didn't see much, but, hey, like you said, I don't want to make that call to be getting a FedEx on Wednesday, Thursday morning.
Let me ask you about, we're a little more than a year removed from James Washington diving for a ball out in Denver, and then we talked about it probably a whole lot more than we should have talked about a guy diving for a ball or not diving for a football. But in that year, it feels like we've run the whole gamut with James Washington, and he's come all the way back around to fulfilling some of the expectations that maybe people had for him with some of the plays that he's making. Was he? Does anything that you make guys make happen on Sunday against the Browns happen if he doesn't make that first big catch?
I think getting the penalty was huge, but seeing him catch it also was okay. Like we got our guys. Like you know, we're missing Juju and just a whole bunch of other guys on offense. In a sense, and him stepping up is huge. You know, when some people go down, as far as the game, you know, somebody's got to step up, and he's been that guy. And we always have side conversations and stuff like that. And I think him growing like that doesn't do anything but help everybody else on offense, especially a guy like Juju when he gets back. I think they have a great wide receiving core. You have to have a 1 and a 2, a 1 and 1A. And James is growing in that sense. It's kind of cool to see him step up like this as being a young guy.
Do you honestly, you're trying to tell me with this bowl projection stuff, last question for you, that like the Music City Bowl is something that, or like an awful bowl like that you're going to be happy with Tennessee? I mean, come on.
Well, I don't know. We got to get a warm other bowl.
Like
a
Outback, maybe they might play in the Outback Bowl, I guess. They might play Minnesota in the Outback Bowl. You're okay with that from a program standpoint?
From where we have come from a new head coach at UT, absolutely. And like I said, this is just the beginning of the fall of Alabama. That's all I really care about other than us winning, too.
Did you see those women get stuck in the bushes, by the way?
Yes, I did. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Yeah, the field ain't for everybody. Like I used to tell, like I tell our assistant O-line coach, you know, the streets ain't for everybody either. Coach Clam, I'm messing with him. He's in the training room with me, right?
You better be careful you come out on the streets. You don't know who you're going to run into. I agree.
So, I had to mess with Coach Clem because he got me on Instagram one day. So I didn't want to let the world know that the streets ain't for everybody either. That's why he got an ice pack on his knee right now.
You better watch out. Do you think those ladies will ever try to get out on the field again? I mean, they got swallowed up by those hedges.
They legitimately could not get out of the bushes. I mean, that is the best. That's like their grandchildren are going to see that picture. I hope so, anyway.
I will tell you this. I don't know how you played in the SEC because every crowd shot that they show, if they show 10 women, 9 of them are the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life.
It's like that, man. I'll tell you what. Man, we'll get to a point where we'll have to go visit all the SEC schools, man, if you ever get the opportunity to with me in your downtown.
We're good. Let's go. We'll go. Yep.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. All right, Ramon. Have a good trip to Arizona, business trip. Get it done. We'll talk next week.
No doubt. And Marquise just walked in the trainer. Marquise, you want to say something?
Free Pouncy. Okay.
Hashtag Free Pouncy.
Yeah, we'll see you. Before it gets real bad, we got to get out of here.
We would be beyond 16-second delay if we got Pouncy on.
I still can't get over, as much as Ramon just said there, that made a lot of sense. Those two women getting stuck in those bushes at the Iron Bowl is my favorite thing that's maybe ever happened in college athletics. Because then there's a third lady that they had to rest a little bit later that jumped, that she was legitimately stuck and a guy had
out.
To pull her out. I must have watched that 50 times on the internet yesterday. I mean, I saw it live when it was happening.
The level of schadenfreude in the SEC is just, I mean, they live to see other teams' pain.
If you want to watch beautiful women, though, go to watch two things. A Cubs telecast at Wrigley. They show every good-looking woman, or an SEC telecast.
Oh,
there are non-good-looking people there, but they never show them on television.
No.
The cameramen, they have to be instructed. Just show the good-looking people. And I wonder if they're plants, too. Like seat fillers at the Oscars.
Like if they just get
I think that's just SEC girls.
Just walking around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.